From RunAsRadio.com, you're listening to Run As Radio, the internet audio talk show for IT professionals with Richard Campbell. This is Brandon Nguyen announcing show number 345, Getting in Tune, with guest Dana Epp, recorded Monday, November 25th, 2013. Run As Radio is produced each week by Pwop Productions, providing professional media and podcasting services online at pwop.com. You can follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/runasradio.
Thank you very much. This is Richard Campbell, and thanks to Brandon for doing all the great editing that makes Run As Radio sound as good as it does. I hope you're having a good Christmas season. This is one of those short breaks between the crazy winter road trip we're doing over on the .NET Rocks side, where I'm able to get a few shows in the conventional way. So I rounded up some of my friends, including Mr. Dana Epp. Sir, welcome back.
Well, thanks for the invite. I hope your travels have been pretty good. I know you've been all over the place.
Well, I missed the MVP summit because I was on the East Coast talking about Studio 2013 with developers.
Yep.
But I'm not complaining. It was good fun. Better than a real job.
Hey, but you missed a good time. But that's okay.
Yeah, and there's nothing we could talk about at the MVP summit on the show. That's for sure.
That's right. That's for sure.
So. That is how people lose their MVP status. Just one bad tweet and the MVP is gone.
I don't recall, Senator. I don't know what you're talking about. So, wasn't me, but was anything like that? Hey, that's a great thing about being an MVP is we get access to a lot of awesome stuff, but there's a responsibility that comes
sure.
with it.
Sure. And you have, but it does give you a chance to prepare for what's next too.
Yeah. And it also gives us, you know, since we're on a leading edge for a lot of us, we get to help and provide feedback and help. You know, it's nice to know things that I've talked about in the last, you know, 15 years. And I've been an MVP, what, 9 almost now. It's like stuff I've suggested and talked about actually make it into product. And it's cool to see that.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's one of the benefits of being an MVP is that we get early access and they listen. So that's always very powerful.
And you are a security MVP, right?
Yeah. So enterprise security and dev security MVP.
And normally I find with MVPs, they map to a product, but you don't.
No, well, security is needed in all products. So we're kind of overreaching across everything. The closest we get tied to is TWC because in the end, the aspect of building secure environments is a responsibility across all product groups. That's good because we have a lot of breadth of knowledge and have access to a lot of teams, but it's bad because we don't get funded.
Threat Gateway, is that what you're talking about?
Well, TMG, no. So TWC is like the Trustworthy Computing Group.
Right.
So, you know, in the end, they deal with all the aspects from secure Windows and to everything from, you know, the world of BitLockerNet. There's no product. Like things like what used to be ISA and then became Forefront, you know, the TMG and that. Even those products have been, in some cases, have been retired in many ways.
Mm-hmm.
And the part reason for that is that security as a holistic approach is shifting significantly now. It's not about a product. It's about a process, and it's all supposed to be built in. So you look at the defenses as an example in Windows 8.1 compared to Windows XP, right? We always had to worry about antivirus and malware. And while you still do, and you still need to have technologies that are in there to help in some signature-based type detection, the reality is if you build a stronger kernel and build a stronger separation, so you're using least privilege effectively in the products means that it's less likely that there's going to be risks that are going to be taken advantage of in a negative way, which is why you see, like, even when you see vulnerabilities found in the later versions of Windows Server and desktop, the criticality is significantly lessened by the SDL process that have been followed for secure development lifecycle. So all products are getting a better visibility and view. And if you look at most of the threats that have happened, they're actually not in the new code they write. It's usually in legacy code that's just kind of been carried kicking and screaming across the code bases over the years. So.
And it does seem since the great XP SP2 movement that Microsoft's been really transparent in dealing with the security problems.
Yeah, well, and if you think about it, the security push, you know, when Bill Gates put out his infamous Trustworthy Computing memo, was all about we need to do this better because we've been doing it, you know, we got to arm our customers with the better technologies and solutions and just make it work out of the box. The reality is that there was like so many bodies of people responsible for teaching that inside of Microsoft, making it part of their mantra. And then they all kind of moved on into the other teams. It's no longer a specialty. It's like people are responsible for threat modeling on every product group. There are people responsible for red team and investigating and looking at threats to software. It's just part of the team. So it's no longer a separate thing all the time. They still have people that are responsible and, you know, they're the experts in a lot of this stuff. But in the end, this whole aspect of make it part of the development cycle means that we just have stronger products and they get better with every iteration.
Right. It just becomes a normal part of the process.
Yeah, I think it also helps marketing too, because they can always say the most secure Windows yet.
Right.
You know, because they're getting better every single time.
Yeah, so that's always a balance on it. Does that just mean the other ones were insecure?
Well, exactly. So, but it's true though. If you think about it, XPSP2 is coming into an end of life, and you know, there's going to be a point where it's not a safe platform to be on as in relations to what's out there now. And you got to balance that against application compatibility and usability, which is why Microsoft spends so much time building things like the App Compat toolkit and everything else that's in there. And it's also why they start building a lot of these products. They're trying to move a lot of this stuff that can be used, centralized, and managed in different ways, which is kind of an interesting realm. Everything used to be managed, controlled, and handled inside of the network, inside of the firewall. Well, now we got devices across everything from your tablets on your surfaces to your Windows phones to your desktops to they all need to connect and intercommunicate.
Right.
And that means the security model has to change because now the challenges are all related to the users, their devices, the apps that they have on there, and then, of course, the data that's produced by that. And those may not always be devices that IT has easy access to.
Sure. Yeah. The number of devices, the proliferation is unbelievable. I got to imagine. I mean, when the MVPs come to town, they just knock the crap out of networks.
You know? Yeah, you know what's good? I remember like about 8 years ago at one of the summits, it was so bad that we weren't even getting 1K of download because they were just exhausting Microsoft's network. But they've learned from that. And now it's like you've got good wireless everywhere. Microsoft's really figured out how to make sure those access points can be separated and managed and to handle the thousands of us that reach on a campus at one time.
Well, it's also, we're now coming with 3-4 IP addresses per person.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I was out there. I had my laptop. I had my Surface Pro. I had my phone. They were all interconnected and doing the work I needed to. And I was connecting back at work while at the same time doing what I needed to at the summit. So, it's getting to a world now, people's cars have IPs, fridges have IPs.
Yeah.
And how do you manage all those devices? That's an interesting problem and challenge. And it's actually, you look at some of Microsoft's cloud technology like Windows Intune, that's exactly what that's designed for. It's to
right.
say, hey, we're coming to a world now where the devices, apps, and data have to be all managed, and it's not guaranteed to be on devices that are owned by IT.
Right.
So what can we do to help with that? And that's what solutions like Intune are all about.
I've always known as Intune as a cloud product, but are you using it internally?
Yeah, well, so we use it kind of both. So mostly for us, we have a lot, as we've been growing, a lot of our staff are working remote a lot. Mm-hmm. And we just got to a world where like, you know what, we can't always manage those devices. We looked at the direct access solution and saying, well, maybe that would be the way we'd handle it. But a lot of times the devices that our staff are using belong to them. They own them. You know, I can't let them have their own personal RT device connecting up to our domain. Well, actually, you couldn't use an RT on a domain anyways. But
right.
Let's say a Pro or a laptop, right? They couldn't be tied to our domain because it's theirs and they would not really see into that. But Intune changes that because we can install the Intune client and then have central management. So like my Surface Pro is an example. That's not tied to my domain, but I still have central management through Intune on that device. It still has access through SkyDrive Pro and our Office 365 account, which is then linked to our SharePoint where we have syncing with our on-premise SharePoint. So we have access to our data when and where we need it, but I have the controls that I need to manage it. So if my Surface gets stolen,
right.
I can wipe it very, very easily, right? And the same goes with all of our staff. So they've got their own iPads, they have their iPhones, they have their Windows phones. I can tie them in there. Now, of course, we have a lot of devices that we give to our employees. They have their own laptops and that. Even though it's a corporate device, it may not be managed through something like Direct Access, which gives me that ability to, quarantine it, validate it, keep it in a in in a state that I want from an IT. Intune gives me that. I can push the patches I need. I can push the software. Actually, one of my favorite features is, you know, Microsoft calls it, you know, empowering people-centric IT. It's like, get away from the walls. Think about the people. How do they use these devices?
Right.
When they're connecting and using resources that belong to the company, know about it. So we install Office 2013 as an example. Every single employee, because they already have an Office 365 account and they have an Intune account, they can deploy Office 2013 on their devices. Here's what's really cool. If an employee leaves and I revoke their license in Intune and in Office 365, what happens is they get a degraded performance state. Basically, the software goes into a read-only mode and then it is a non-functioning mode, but my licenses move around with them. So if they have, they can have Office on five different devices, their devices, they can control, but I still have some visibility, especially on the data side. I can maintain my compliance when it relates to some of our sensitive data, knowing, hey, you managed it in Office and we know it's an Office document. When I wipe it, I'm going to have control over some of the device access. And of course, that means that I have better confidence on, hey, it is their own device, but it's being stored, managed, and controlled by us in a way that needs to for the work.
This, we get into this huge battle when it's somebody else's device. What should you wipe and what shouldn't you wipe?
Well, so it's interesting. It's like, so one of the things that people don't realize is Intune itself, it's a cloud-based solution, but it can actually coexist and work
right.
With System Center. You have to have, I think it's 2012 R2 Configuration Manager.
Mm-hmm.
You get a license of Configuration Manager when you get your Intune license. So if you want to centrally manage it and control it through your own System Center Configuration Manager, you can. Or you can have just the cloud only. In our case, System Center is a little heavy for our network because we're still rather small and comparative. So we just use the full Windows Intune client. What's cool is it can detect based in some applications, not all, but Microsoft includes this free app, which is called the Company Portal, which is basically just a modern UI app or a browser if you're in like Windows 7 that gives you access to the applications. So you basically can use the equivalency of AppV, or kind of essential needed for pushing applications. You package it up, put it up in Intune, and then it's deployed to that device. And it's tracked. That is a company-deployed application.
Right.
And the documents saved and created from there get stored in their SkyDrive account, or when they're stored locally, they're tagged. And so when you map it up with some of the file system components that allow you for rights management and control there, you can actually monitor that stuff and say, hey, I know you created that business plan update using Word that is deployed through the business, so I'm tracking the files and the applications to give me some of that confidence. So when I do a disable this app, I'm also going out there and being able to track, well, what apps, what files were used? Can we turn them off of their company SkyDrive? Can we, you know, disable it? Doesn't mean they can't go copied off on other disks and other drives. There's still some file integrity monitoring you got to
do
outside of that. But at least you got some controls, especially at the application level. From a licensing perspective, I don't want to get in trouble because a staff member leaves and continues using licenses that we're belonging to.
Yeah. That's the main thing is, are we maintaining the licensing rules that we've committed to? We should talk price here, though. I mean, how much is Intune?
Well, you know, there's two different sides to the Intune. And so when I'm talking pricing, first off, I'm just going off of what I know. So, you know, some customers, when they have partnerships with Microsoft, can get better pricing. But we're talking Windows Intune itself as a license is $6 per user per month. And that includes a license to Configuration Manager. But I actually pay the higher one. There's another one that's Windows Intune Plus. You get Windows Enterprise. So you don't need to have SA. You can get all the benefits that Enterprise can give you. That's $11 a user a month.
Right.
So what ends up happening then is I get all the other benefits of Enterprise directly through that Intune license without having to have SA. And I get the Configuration Manager license too, although I don't really use that much. And I get all the benefits, everything else that's tied together on there. So when I look at my remote staff, and here's the other thing, you don't need it for every single employee, only the ones you want to manage remotely with Intune.
Right.
So in our case, you know, I'm dealing with about 20 employees that are doing remote. So it's not really expensive in relation to what would it cost me to do App B, to do System Center patch management controls and all that stuff, and get all the auditing and logging that you know, because it is an MDM framework at the end of the day. And it, just to be clear, that's not just a Windows framework. It works with our employees that have iOS and Windows Phone 8. And it's actually kind of funny. The company portal I was talking about, that works on all, like, it's a free download directly in the Windows Store, but they also have it for Windows Phone 8 and iOS. So that one floored me when it had a native iOS app that just works to push applications. So now you don't have to push internal apps through the Apple Store. You can actually sideload them through the enrollment and everything else that's controlled. So now you can push company apps to the devices they use.
Interesting.
Yeah.
But you are paying a fee per device per month.
Well, but that that license, as an example, gives you that $11. That's giving you the Windows Intune license and Windows Enterprise. But in the end, you're still going to be able to use a lot of that stuff across like five devices for management. So it's the user in the system. So in the end, when you combine it with things like, you know, Office 365 Professional Plus, you know, you're literally going to be able to manage that software across five devices. So it's going to be their tablet, their phone, their home PC, their work PC,
right,
and, you know, whatever.
So it's not as much as you think. It's really $11 a person per month.
Yeah.
And working user, across all their devices. I'm just fascinated this idea of a Microsoft product pushing iOS apps to iOS devices.
Yeah. So you still, what happens is they have, the application management's done through the format. So like in Windows 8 and RT, they sideload it with what's called an AppX file, right? So
right.
That's Visual Studio will produce that. On Windows Phone 8, they call it a ZAP file, an XAP file.
Yep.
And then iOS, it's an IPA. So what happens is when you compile it in Xcode, you just tell it you want to create a sideload IPA, and that file gets put in and packaged, and then you can push that directly through the portal. And then Android, they even have it for Android, so you can do APKs as well. I've not done any of that, so I don't have enough experience to know how well that works in Android. But it's still pretty cool. I mean, you tie it to the not just the software distribution, but the actual management. You know, there's some pretty interesting capabilities, because now you're actually being able to manage configuration settings like.
Right.
Android's the one that, because they do everything through EAS, doesn't have as much capabilities.
Mm-hmm.
But things like not just enrolling devices, you can browsing web links, contacting IT, like all that stuff that you would do to help users be more successful. It's all tied into that portal, and it makes it easy for things like retiring, remote wiping. You know, like there's all these other capabilities, and they recommend you do one or the other, but you can do stuff you can do already in exchange with EAS policies on top of. Some of these other capabilities in Intune. The choice is really up to you, but I see that being something they're going to continue to build on. So the MDM, I think, is going to get even better as Intune grows a little more to do more stuff with that. So you'll be able to do things like backing up the devices.
Sure.
and controlling which apps. There are some tricks that they do to make sure you don't breach privacy. So as an example, while you can have and push company apps, you can't get a list you can get software inventory lists on like Windows. Mm-hmm. So when you install Intune, it'll tell you, hey, I got these applications installed. You can't do that on iOS and that, because you don't want to see that you have the Farmville app or whatever else. So they prevent that kind of privacy leakage on your personal device, but at least can tell you the company related stuff.
Yeah. And they just want to tell you what company stuff is on that device.
Yep.
So that you can yank it back off. And is this the main focus of Intune, is just managing these other devices, and primarily for smaller organizations? Is there a limit to how many they can manage?
I don't remember the exact number now, but I think it was something to the effect of, when you're looking at just doing Intune Cloud only, you can have, I think it's like 7,000 devices,
right?
4,000 users. So if you need more than that, which is like a huge, to me, that's a lot of users for most of the people that we're working with. If you need more, that's when you combine it with System Center Configuration Manager.
Right. And you're really going into the enterprise class incarnation of this.
But even that, 7,000 devices.
That's a lot, man. That's not a small business.
Even if
it's five per person, you're still talking 1,200 people. Like, it's just a lot.
Yeah. So and it was cool because they did a pretty good job in their web interface. I know it'll get better over time, but this whole aspect, for our office as an example, we're federated with Microsoft. So in the end, it's like there's no passwords or anything. There's literally an icon. It automatically signs in using single sign-on. So they don't see anything, but it's a highly secured environment where we can push apps. And it creates its own catalog. So for us, we have some internal apps that we use I'll give you an example, a real simple one. Every employee, you know, they don't want to use normal Notepad. They want Notepad++. So we actually bundled and packaged that right into company portal. So it's like first thing you do when you get a new app. So like I look at the scenario, let's say I hire a new salesperson in the UK.
Right.
And I don't want to ship equipment up there. What we can do is give them a stipend and say, you know, here's $1,500. Go buy yourself a laptop.
Right.
The first thing you do when you get the laptop is just go to a single authentical single sign-on, click on the company portal. It'll automatically launch to a website through single sign-on that will give them a list of all the apps that they can install. They click it after they install the Intune client. It will actually deploy directly to that machine. So they just go and say, I want these apps. And then based on their roles and privileges, it can automatically push those down when the device is registered. Hey, you're a sales guy. You're going to need these add-ins, like the Salesforce add-in for Outlook. It'll just automatically set it up, deploy it, and manage it. And nice. Then boom, you're there.
But if I can also see, member, I mean, irrespective of the multi-cross-platform phones and everything else like this, just managing a bunch of distributed desktops.
Yeah,
this exactly. seems pretty painless.
Yeah, and then the nice thing is you get a unified set, an experience unlike no other, because it's the same experience. It doesn't matter. Hey, they lost that laptop. They just go buy another one, install the Intune client, and then go on. In our case, what we've done is we don't want anonymous registration, so we actually have a package that's built we built right in Intune, and we put that on our SharePoint site. So when someone wants to install an Intune client, doesn't matter what device it is, all they do is bring this zip down, double-click on it, and it installs, and it sets it up, registers it back. We all know. Then all we have to do is assign that device to that user, and they automatically see it in the portal, and they can start adding applications, doing whatever they need to, and they don't have to worry where the apps are. They don't need so. In the case of Office, as an example, because they use distributed packaging and they do what's called just-in-time loading, it's part of the world of App V. They literally can have Word within 10 minutes. Like, so, if you think of an install, you got a gigabyte DVD that's going to install Office, or you can just say click on here, and it'll automatically deploy the bits you need. So it'll give them the base functionality of Word, but it might not give them the thesaurus and some right. of the other components. And behind the scenes, it's backloading and downloading that stuff to them as they use it. If they never use Publisher, they're not going to get the Publisher bits downloaded to sure. them. But as soon as they need it, it's there. And then it just starts downloading. It creates the links. And as far as they're concerned, it's a localized app, and it's just they got there. They didn't have to install it. They didn't have to buy it. This is what the company has authorized them for applications. And then, of course, if there's ones that are not mandatory, some are, let's say, discretionary. Hey, you don't need Notepad++ and you don't need to install it, but you want it. Instead of going and finding it and finding out which one we've approved in IT, click it and it'll install it.
You've basically got your own little marketplace there of all the approved and licensed apps.
Bingo, yeah. And then when you tie that together with role-based access controls, hey, you're in the sales group, it automatically knows to push these apps down versus, and not just push them down, show you. So our developers, as an example, they don't see the apps that relate to sales because they don't need the Salesforce add-ins and things like that, right?
Does this tie in with your Active Directory then?
It can. Well, because we're back to, if you want to tie it to your Active Directory, you can use things like Azure AD and ADFS, and you can tie it all so it'll manage your group memberships on your domain, push it out to your cloud, and go from there. So if you want to do that, you just need to know how to set up ADFS and Azure AD, and you can wire that all in. Because a good part about Windows Online or Microsoft's online services, they're all tied behind the scenes with Azure AD. So,
right.
You want it to work with Active Directory, it's just a matter of using ADFS. Or in our case, we use AuthEnvil, and AuthEnvil bypasses the need for AD and actually does federation directly with the Microsoft Federation Gateway. So in the end, you don't need a password at all. The group membership's already synchronized through AuthEnvil, and then those groups get tied into Intune, and that's how we do it.
Nice.
So if you do federation, it's all there.
But it feels to me like Intune is the product you should start with. But if you haven't done any of this yet, if you're still deploying apps with SneakerNet, then this is a great place to start.
I always found App V to be a pain. Like
right.
the old days of App V, I tried for years to do side by side because we had people that had they needed Office 2007 and 2010 together. And they didn't, I don't know if, some people don't know this, but in many times when you install Office, it goes to the same base directory. So if you install one and then the other, you clobber over many of the DLLs and everything. And so you can't have them both running at the same time. So in the end, the way you can solve that is using AppV and using app containment. So you can say, hey, I can have run both on the same system. Well, they just took that, made it cloud-based, and I'm generalizing there. I'm sure there's a lot more technology behind the scenes on that. But it ultimately gives you this ability to deliver push the apps as it's needed. And it's a very simplified way. It's like pick your MSI, pick any extra files and configurations, and it'll automatically do the deployments.
Yeah.
And when I first started it, I only did like one or two desktops. I did my own just to test it out and play with it for a while, just to see how real it was. Cause I was kind of worried about things like bandwidth. You know, what do you do when you've got, you know, Office, you know, and you're on a really slow DSL connection, how would it perform? Once I was comfortable, like it made sense. Like I wouldn't do this if I had 100 users who all needed to get Office at the exact same time. I would use local deployment, but you can combine that with remote access and it actually has some good value. And I think if someone was new to cloud and new to Microsoft's world, Intune's a good way to get started. Try it out on like your Windows 7 and Windows 8 desktops, see what it goes on there, and go that way. My only wish, I hope in the future, is that Microsoft moves not just to the client, but to the server management the same way. Because, you know, yeah, system centers out there, you could use Kaseya or any of these other tools that are out there. But the value in how I see Intune in its simplified management of the ecosystem of the end user, we tie that to the server. Now you've got a cloud instance of managing all your IT, regardless of what it is and where it is.
Right.
So I hope they'll get there, but you know, right now Intune is for the clients. It's for handling those end users, which is a good way to use it for remote productivity and the employees that are out there.
Yeah, I'm still, you know, there's still an audience out there that's fighting with, I don't want the cloud. The cloud scares me. But when it comes to a small organization, what's the alternative? That if you're really going to manage this centrally, the per desktop or per person solution seems so much more compelling than trying to build up more gear.
Yeah. And if you're looking at someone that's got XP, let's say, and they're end of lifing and they're going to new devices, why would you worry on from a pricing model? You can sit there and go and say, hey, I can get them an Intune license, get a Windows Enterprise license, have it all centrally managed for $11 a user a month. That is way better than trying to go through SA, buying the volume, dealing with that pricing costs. And you're basically amortizing your IT across a different system. And you get all the benefits as Microsoft adds more. So like when I start with Intune, it only had half the capabilities it has now. They're constantly adding more. Like it was funny the day I heard about a company portal. I just went into the Windows store and saw it there. And I was like, I wonder what this thing does. And because I'd already configured the web version of it, it just boom, everything was there. I was like, holy cow. You know, it's like, this is the way. So when we moved our executives all to laptops and surfaces running on Windows 8, it was so nice. I didn't have to do anything. It was just the portal was already there. I just told them, hey, click on this thing when you need an app. And every time they called me, I would say, hey, just go over here.
Go
and
then,
boom,
it.
There's, yeah, go do it. They're managing their own IT. Well, they're not because they're calling me and I'm on the phone. But in the end, the nice thing is that it's getting deployed. It's getting managed. And I have a little more confidence in the systems. I know it's being deployed. I know where the data is. I know how it's being managed. Part of the configuration set when building it all is how does it all work itself. And Office is obviously Microsoft stack. Works really, really well for here. So that packaging of the Office 2013 tied into Intune, tied to their Windows, pushing it to their Surface Pro was awesome. It just made that whole experience really nice.
So when do you need Configuration Manager once you're starting to use Intune?
Well, I guess in many cases, if the question's asked, when do you need Configuration Manager, you're already at a spot where you're a much larger organization. You're dealing with application delivery and you're needing compliance auditing. You're needing all that real central deep policy control and management. That's about when you'll need that there. It's usually going to be when people already have Configuration Managers. Like, I already got this configuration set. I just want to be able to honor it across those devices that are in the domain and that are, we can manage with Intune. And I don't have a lot of experience to be able to say just how well it is, but the way I've heard it works in a lot of this is it takes a lot of that policy that's in Configuration Manager and I basically package it and push it and get all that kind of stuff into Intune so you're not redoing the work. It's working together to use the two to get together. And I think that's a pretty powerful message. And at the end of the day, though, you're talking about I think the number that I heard was 200,000 devices can be managed through System Center Configuration Manager. You know, you have to have R2. So it's 2012 R2 to do that. But hey, 200,000 devices, that's an enterprise deployment.
Oh, no kidding.
You're going to have a huge pain of dealing with MDM and managing desktops.
I still think of ConfigMan as just managing Windows desktops and laptops. Does it have a role with these other devices?
Yeah, because it ties into the Intune management right. for the MDM. So now all of a sudden, it's not just that Windows environment. It's going to deal with those iOS devices right. and those Android devices.
But it's doing
devices.
That through Intune.
Through Intune. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
It yeah. seems like Config Man under the hood has also got the Microsoft Deployment Toolkit. So it seems like there's a lot of interfacing here between these different products.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that's kind of that benefit of mapping it all together is that you get the experience on how do you do deployment and all that kind of stuff. And it's kind of interesting because you could do a centralized deployment into these devices for the base image, then have users in the field as they need them, get the applications as they want them. So while they're in the NAT, they still can take advantage of Configuration Manager and even AppV and everything else that's in the org if they want to. But it's when they're when they're removes the shackles of the office and they're now out and about. Now what? That's the part where then Intune comes in and says, hey, it's okay. We know you've had it centrally managed and you pushed it through Config Manager, but we know enough about this device and we can see it now. And in Intune, we can now push the rest of it and do what we need to. And the over-the-air enrollment and everything else that Intune side gives you means that you get the apps as you need them when you need them. You don't have to come back to the office to get it done. You don't have to create that VPN right. to do it. It'll be, you're in the coffee shop, you need that app to do whatever it is, fine, it's there.
Well, I just like the idea of, like you said, a guy in another country who may never come to the main office still being able to be provisioned with maybe gear that he's bought himself by the company paying for it. But either way, we're going to have more discussions with various folks around this bring your own device mentality, just because I'm running into situations with my customers where sometimes the simplest solution is to provide hardware.
Yeah. And you know, it's interesting because you get this mentality. It's my device. I don't want, you know, a company data right. on there. And it's like, you know what, if you want that kind of assurance, it actually does make sense. But that doesn't preclude its ability to be useful and into it. It's my device and I have the capability. I'm giving you this phone. I'm giving you this tablet. It's a corporate device, but it doesn't make sense to have direct access. Maybe that device makes more sense to use Intune to push. Because remember, Intune's also about things like looking at patch management. It's like, hey, I'm going to enforce a level of health check on that device and make sure it's got the right thing. So, hey, I just heard about this new Adobe breach and I want to make sure I got the latest, greatest reader. I can not only push the reader out through the AppV side of things in Intune, but I can also watch and look for patches and make sure that the apps are in a state that I'm expecting. Now, what's interesting, and I haven't done this, so I don't know how well it was. It'd be interesting to see how well that can then cross-reference into things like NAP enforcement. So when people are coming in via VPN or in through, like, so DA is a different thing because you'd have to have it as a corporate device anyways. But imagine if part of the issue is it's like, hey, when you're coming in and connecting back to the office, I've already pushed through Intune what patches need to be there, what health's in there, and all of a sudden, as I'm coming in back through the corporate walls and I have to deal with those security checks through like network access protection and whatnot, I already know it's got the right health in there because I've enforced it through the cloud when it's not connected.
Right. Was this a role that network access protection used to do?
Yeah, well, and it does, right? The health checks do that. Now, what's interesting, though, is that that does require you to go through the NAP gateway to do anything. So what if you don't? What if that machine is out of the office for a year or a year and a half?
Right.
The last thing it does, it goes into a quarantine when they're back on the corporate network, and it sits there for several hours while it's getting all the patches, right? They're not very effective while they're in the corporate headquarters. Now, that's one of the benefits DA gave you was that it gave you a machine-level mechanism to get in there and check the health, push policy, do all that kind of stuff. But not everybody's got that capabilities and control. They don't have the DA tied in. So this becomes that next way of saying, well, but we can also deal with there. The other side of it too, though, is what, especially on Windows devices, so I think a Surface and Windows 8 tablets is a good example. You get all the other benefits like the inventory control. Hey, what apps are installed by there? What are they using it for? That's the kind of stuff. It's like, I don't need you to connect back to the office to find out the health of it. No. I can even do things like reboot the computer through Intune. I can send an instruction and tell it, patch and reboot. And it's like, I don't have to need them.
Well, and being able to send those commands to devices that aren't Windows devices is just amazing to me.
Yeah. It's there's a lot that's in there. And I think as it continues to mature, and I still think it's still in its infancy, to be honest with you. Not that it's not doable and workable. I think it's just they've only tapped the surface of what can be done. But I think the term they were throwing around all the time, you know, the marketing terms, it was like unified infrastructure. You know, it doesn't matter if it's a company device or a personal device. We'll just make sure that the corporate data and corporate apps are being handled, managed, and in a way that's reasonable. And I don't know. It seems like a pretty good way of handling it.
Is there anybody else that you know of that's tackling unified device management quite like this? Are there third party products to look at?
Well, yeah, there are RMM tools out there all over the board in different ways that are trying to do it. I think the trick or the problem that they have with them is that for all of them that are agent based, it's only as good as what they have visibility to. So a good example would be something like Kaseya. Like they've got a system that can you install an agent on there, and then they can push software patches, deployments. But what's interesting about that scenario is that you have to build them. You know, it doesn't come out of the box for everything. Where what Microsoft's doing with Intune and all that stuff, yeah, you still need to build the packages as an example. But policy management framework, that's all built into Windows already. So they're just leveraging what they built into the OS, which is a far better way of going about it than trying to bake your own. The other side of it too is they've tied things like the anti-malware and the AV stuff. Like Intune has its own EV anti-malware components, so you're getting that centralized view. So now not only do you need to have antivirus, you don't have to have a different system for monitoring it. That same system in Intune will watch the health of your system. So and that works for things like measured boot and UEFI and there's a whole bunch of other components. So you're dealing with vulnerability shielding, you're dealing with Windows Defender, even when it's offline. So if you're not in the org, you still can push all that other stuff on there, and that's a value that not a lot of people see, I think, or understand.
Yeah, it's a subtlety. I first knew of Intune from it being the antivirus solution. It just seems to have morphed a lot since then.
Yeah, because it's talking about endpoint protection, which is doing that anti-malware antivirus, but then it's all, hey, well, since that agent's doing that, we can do software deployment and distribution. We can do inventory management control. We can execute commands. We can do, you know, all those things that our mem tools have done for years. The big critical difference, though, is that where the value is on these more mature RMM tools, and even in the system center stage, is really about, it's not just about clients. It's also about servers and other infrastructure. Intune today is for clients. Now, that may very well change. I don't have any MVP knowledge on that kind of stuff, but it seems to be that they focus clearly on cloud and mobile devices, where a lot of the RMM tools are like, well, no, we got to deal with the servers and the networking devices and everything else as well. Yeah. And so from a unified management point of view, those tools are more mature for that. But that's when you come back to System Center Configuration Manager. That's what that's for, is for, hey, dealing with the servers and dealing with the other devices.
Well, I think it's more important to focus on this idea of client management as a very different beast from data center management.
Yeah, that's very true. Yeah.
Because it's many remote locations and many kinds of devices. When you're dealing with server management, you know, it might be more than one location, but it's not hundreds. So,
yeah, exactly.
You know, you're tackling this problem from a different point of view.
Yeah.
Well, Dana, a half hour flies by. I feel like I got a taste of where Intune's at these days.
Yeah, you know, give it a try. You know, it costs, especially a partner, and you know, for you specifically as an MVP, you have access to your MVP account. You can try this out up to 25 devices, and you can see just how it works on your own. But more importantly, I think it's a good business tool. It's very inexpensive for what it's delivering. And when you tie it together with things like other cloud services Microsoft has, like the Office 365, the ability to deploy it, and they provide guidance. There's some good guidance on TechNet on how you can use prepackaged deployments that they have and tie it into Intune, so you don't even have to host that in your storage account to push applications and whatnot. It just makes it really, really fast. And I think in time, what we're going to see is it's just going to be Intune will be that point to be able to manage those devices wherever they are.
Right.
And that'll be for everything from MDM and software distribution. And more importantly, you know, the self-service, allowing the user to say, hey, I lost my Windows 8 tablet, and I go into the portal and I can wipe it. That's very powerful.
And they, and get the new machine and get back to work without having to wait for an IT guy to wake up on the other side of the world or get permission for anything, just to get to work.
Yeah. Like, how hard is it now? It's like you think about it. Like, you can walk into a Microsoft store, buy a new Surface, install that ad, and even before IT's even got up, you've wiped the old one, put the new one in, deal with the cost of the hardware later, and you're back up and working.
Yeah.
That is very empowering, and it's nice to see that being pushed down to the user. Not that all users want to think about technology, but
no.
When you really look at things like the company portal, they've simplified it. It's literally an icon. You click it, and it says wipe. It's like, you know, what more can you do? You know, it's not that difficult if you give them the permissions, obviously, to do that kind of stuff. I think that's very valuable, and I think over time, I think we're going to see more and more businesses understand that hybrid, hey, the devices could be anywhere. They might be in the office. They may not be. You can manage the portal part of it in the cloud. And if you need to and you want to have it on-prem and you have Access Configuration Manager, you can do some of that work and policy and everything there as well. It's giving you that benefit of where you need it, when you need it.
Awesome.
And I think that's a good way of doing it.
Dana Epp, thanks so much for talking to me.
Hey, no problem. Have yourself a great holiday season if I don't talk to you before.
You too, man. And we'll talk to you next week on Run As Radio.